Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and welcome to Show Me the Science. Now, this week, recommended by Tom, the new producer, who I'm very happy to be working with, and it's a great topic, actually, and I'd come across stuff over the last few months somewhat on this anyway, but it is the science of crowds. And you might wonder, why would I bring this up? Well, it's in our minds at the moment. Music festivals, crowds meet. And the question is, what's happening scientifically with crowds at music festivals? We're very social creatures, so it's a very interesting topic for us as a species. And in fact, I'm also going to tell you about studies on different animals and how they form crowds and herds and all sorts. It's an interesting area. And it's scientifically interesting. Why do we form crowds? What happens in crowds? And how does it affect our behaviour? But there is a serious side to this, which is crowds can be dangerous. And over history, of course, even recent history, there's evidence of crowds, people getting harmed because of stampedes, football matches, all kinds of situations, and music events as well. You can hear people getting crushed. So that's the serious side. Can we protect people in a crowd situation? Because we love being in crowds. And people, you can't stop people gathering. It's something that we do naturally. But the question is, can we learn from crowds in terms of preventing disasters from happening? And that's the more serious side of this, I guess. Now, as I said, first of all, if you look at it, we love to get together. We evolved, as I've said on other podcasts, to be social. We are pack animals, is what you would call us, actually, if you're a zoologist. Doesn't sound very edifying, but we're in packs. And we love being in a pack. Much of our behavior is built around being in a pack. A leader always emerges, and we follow leaders. We're obsessed with leaders, in fact. And some of those leaders can be malign, and some can be beneficial. But we're very much a pack animal with a leader. Is the unit, if you like, of humanity. And we get comfort from being in crowds. And it turns out a big crowd is even more comforting. And we all know this. One of the biggest thrills you can get as a young person is to go to a music festival and to be in a crowd with your friends and your favourite band. And you love the music, and it is massively uplifting. And they've studied people in that situation. And every hormone that you want that's positive is rushing through your system. The number one hormone that goes up is oxytocin. And when we're in a crowd, your body makes oxytocin. Now, I've mentioned oxytocin before. It's a magical hormone in some ways. It's the bonding hormone. So clearly evolution built oxytocin to allow us to be together. And we feel good when we make the oxytocin. Examples of where it really works and where it was discovered actually was a nursing mother. When she's breastfeeding, her body has a surge of oxytocin, and the baby has a surge of oxytocin, and now they bond. And the oxytocin goes to the brain, gives you nice feelings, wires your brain to want to be together, in that case with your baby. But certainly any gathering, any friendship will generate oxytocin. What's really interesting as well is if you have a pet and you pet your dog, guess what? Your oxytocin goes up and your dog's oxytocin goes up. So it's a bonding hormone for us and our fellow species, which is a lovely thing to think of as well. So crowds equal oxytocin, actually, and the joy that brings. And of course, what they've also noticed is when you're in a crowd, you go into a kind of a trance, and unconscious behaviours emerge. People forget, they lose their sense of time. We see this anthropologically, actually, in certain tribes. They all get together and start dancing, and it's an uplifting experience, and you become transcendent. So it's almost as if we were built to be in crowds, and it's beneficial to be in a crowd. Now, apart from making us feel good, why would a crowd be good? Well, if you're in a crowd, your predator is less likely to attack, because there's a bunch of us. That's the first thing. Secondly, and this has been studied in animals, there's always someone on the lookout. If you're in a crowd, you might be distracted listening to Black Sabbath or whatever the band is. But the guy beside you might be looking around a bit. Oh, there's a predator coming towards us, and he'll warn the whole group. And then we benefit from the strength in numbers, of course, is the phrase, I guess, that you might use. That might be another reason why we did it. The other reason, of course, is it increases your chance of finding a mate. And of course, to keep the species going, unlikely as it may seem, younger people are less into this for some strange reason, but you go to music festivals off at the hookup, let's put it that way, and that's evolved through time. So the more people that you're with, the more likely you'll find someone. Forget the dreaded Tinder and so on. This is in 3D, as it were, and you might find a partner, which is a marvelous aspect to this as well. And it's great being with your friends and hanging out. So in other words, crowds are a very natural thing. Now, what's also the case, though, however, is, and this is the more serious side, it can become dangerous. The crowd can get too dense. A bad leader in that situation can mislead people into charging forward, say, and that can be harmful. So that's the slightly negative side of crowds, and the scientists are trying to understand what that is. Now, let's look at it in a bit more detail. It turns out there are four big reasons, or sort of four interesting findings lately about this. The first, I've just said it, a collective identity emerges in a crowd. And number one, and we're part of a tribe, and we are tribal, and that's the first thing that's going on when you're in a crowd. What's very interesting is crowds can be very cooperative. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, there was a great study done in from 2005. People may remember there was a bombing in London. It was called the 7/7 bombing. Crowds were forming at that site, and often we get drawn to these things, I suppose, and crowds, people freeze a bit, and there's crowds on the street. They noticed those crowds began to help each other, other people in the crowd. They began comforting each other. They began sharing water. So again, the crowd is forming there to be a support network in a difficult situation. And that aspect of collective identity, helping your fellow tribe members, is a part of why crowds are forming. The second thing they've discovered, and this is where it gets really interesting scientifically, there's certain rules. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, what I mean by rules is certain things can be predicted from crowds. And the science part of this is trying to predict what might happen in a crowd to circumvent any problems. Now, the one I love is the mosh pit. Now, I know Tom is a great man for the mosh pit at music festivals. I'm not a big fan of it. People love the mosh pit. Guess what? A crowd in a mosh pit will move slightly in a circle if you track them. Isn't that interesting? So that crowd behavior, and it seems to be because it's quite dense, person-to-person contact, you begin to move a bit. And lo and behold, if you leave the mosh pit to run, it will move in a circle. Now, again, you wonder why that is. We don't know. Is it the scope, the landscape? Maybe it's not clear, but it's very strange that the mosh pit will form circles. Now, the third thing is, can you make predictions? And as I'm saying, this is where this research is going. Can you predict untoward things happening? And a great study on this I came across is as follows. There was a school in America, and they noticed that the school bell would ring for schools out. And guess what? The kids would cram down the corridors, and some of them were getting injured as they rushed to get out of the school. Now, the first suggestion was make the corridors bigger. That seems like an obvious thing to do. But the school didn't have much money, and they thought, we can't go making the corridors bigger. So instead, they got a psychologist in who knew about crowd science. And what did the psychologist say? Don't ring the school bell. Right, that's what they said. Each teacher can say, school's out. And that means there's a slight gap, and each class might be 1 or 2 minutes longer. And it's very simple in the way it wasn't everybody out at the same time. It was slightly staggered. And guess what? No more crushing, no more injuries in that school. So again, there's a piece of information there to tell us you can control crowds if you're clever about it, basically, and keep an eye on those kinds of things. And therefore, you know, in that case, not ringing the school bell was the way to do it. It was more informal. And then the last little bit of science I want to give you, very recent, which is why it was a great suggestion from Tom, and maybe he came across this study himself, but I saw it. Crowds act like fluids. Now, whatever about the mosh pit thing, a big study's just come out. It's literally a sea of people. If you have a big crowd at a music festival, they start to move in ripples spontaneously. It's a bit like a Mexican wave type thing. That will arise spontaneously. And when the scientists have filmed that, it looks just like what's called fluid dynamics. So if you're a fluid scientist, fluids will form ripples in various situations. And lo and behold, crowds will form ripples. Now, this was seen last year at the Pamplona Bull Run. That's a massive crowd of people with bulls running through Pamplona. They began to notice a ripple effect there. They studied it in more detail and they noticed these ripples would form. Now, again, wonderful science here. If it's 2 people per square meter, you don't get the ripples. If you get 6 people per square meter, you begin to get the ripples. So it must be to do with the density of the crowd. And we're all kind of hitting off each other in a way, and these ripples begin to form. It's hard to explain it, but that's the way it is. And then even better, the average periodicity of the ripple forming is 18 seconds. So every 18 seconds, another ripple forms in a crowd. And again, that's an interesting fact. Maybe different crowds that have different periodicities, as we call it, but still, that seems to be a periodicity to this. And then the last thing I want to tell you is, if it's a psychological crowd, it's less likely to be harmful. Now, what that means is if you're all a fan of Black Sabbath, that's a psychological bonding as a group. If it's a random crowd, that's called a physical crowd. That's more likely to go into overdrive and potentially be harmful. So that's a general rule of thumb, it seems. Now, of course, with a football crowd, that should be more psychological and that can be harmful. So it's not as simple as that. But still, it looks as if a psychological crowd, as they're calling it that, is a bit safer than a physical crowd. So if you tell people in a crowd why they're all together, it might lessen the chances of harm being done, I guess, is the overall idea. And in that situation, they talk about a shared passion. So if you're in a crowd because you're passionate about something, and it could be a music festival, then it's less likely to be harmful. The vibe is great. You have a sense of community and you can let loose, and maybe you go into a trance state, and that can be a beneficial thing. And then the last thing I want to tell you on this is, having looked into it a bit, the best species of all for studying crowds are starlings. Now, people have heard of the word murmuration. It's a great word for this. And you'll see this in Ireland and in the evening. Thousands and tens of thousands of starlings are swooping through the sky, forming these shapes. I mean, they form a pancake shape, it's called. And they swirl around. It's the most magnificent sight in nature, I think, among all the sights we see. And they've used computers to analyse the murmuration. And what they've noticed is each bird is connected to seven of its fellow birds. Little tiny units of seven. And one unit of seven will start to move, and they all move with those seven. And it's groups of seven are driving the murmurations. And a million birds have been documented in a single murmuration, which is quite incredible. And of course, being scientists, as ever, you try to ruin it by asking, what's this about? Instead of just enjoying it. But they haven't. Why would starlings do this? The main reason, actually, is to frighten off predators, it turns out. Because when they're murmurating, the falcons and the birds of prey that prey on starlings won't come near them because they're frightened of this big structure. So it looks as if the main reason for murmuration is to scare off predators. Now, again, if you look at humans, maybe that's another, as I said earlier, we form a crowd to scare off the bad guy attacking us. So maybe it's a similar thing. And we do learn from animals, of course, in terms of why they do things. It might inform why we humans might do it. The other two species studied are termites. They form massive colonies. They're doing it to share resources, it turns out. So maybe in a crowd, we're sharing some kind of resource, possibly, it seems. That's likely for humans. And then, of course, the last animal that's been studied are things like buffalo that stampede. And that can be very dangerous. And that's another part of the science of this. If you can stop these animals stampeding, they'll do less injuries. What drives a stampede? Fear. That's very clear now. These animals start to stampede as a defense mechanism. So again, for humans, you've got to make sure that the crowd is not in a fearful situation. Then they're unlikely to freak out and start harming each other, I suppose, is the idea. And let's face it, hopefully music festivals are a good example of that, where nobody's scared. And therefore, it's a safe crowd to form. And yet again, having dug into it, it's amazing the amount of science going on into the science crowds, both from a psychological point of view, but also hopefully to limit any damage that crowds might encounter as they form crowds and get more and more dangerous. And remember, don't be too worried. Enjoy the music festival if you go there. Have a great time. Your oxytocin will go through the roof. So there you have it, the science of crowds. And thanks as ever for listening. And my podcast is a News Talk production, available for download every Thursday, wherever you get your podcast.